high school graduation is one of those just big markers in life that we see as just a really big life transition. But we have several of those all throughout life. And we're faced with different type of life transitions. And so I've got Griffin real quick, just as a quick illustration to help me out this morning. So in student ministry, as we're thinking about life transitions and different things coming up, we play a lot of games with blindfolds. And so we've played a lot of games with this blindfold. Who knows how many times it's been used and how much sweat's in it and how many kids have worn it. But sometimes when we're playing games in student ministry with blindfolds, maybe it's a game like we'll have someone here and they're trying to get from point A to point B. And there's several obstacles throughout the course that they're trying to avoid. And maybe they have a partner that's standing over the side that's calling out instructions to them and trying to guide them through this course to get them to point B without hitting any of the obstacles. Or maybe it's a different kind of game, which is similar, but there's different targets on the ground. And as they're trying to get from point A to point B, their partner's trying to guide them to step on those different targets all the way across. And then, of course, in student ministry, we always do, at some point or another, do some type of trust falls. He's not going to do it today. There's no one there. But you add a blindfold to that trust fall, and it just adds a whole different experience to it. Thank you, Griffin. And so it's just this idea of, as when we think about being blindfolded, not being able to see what's in front of us, not being able to see what's next, we start to feel that sense of unknown. Like, where is my next step? I feel out of control. I can't see where I'm going, and I don't know what my next step is. There's something naturally unnerving about the unknown. Even in the most exciting life transitions, like having a baby or like a high school graduation, we can still feel uneasy or nervous because there's a sense in which we do not know what to fully expect. And we're not alone in this. And thankfully, Scripture has a couple of things we can know and hold on to in times of life transitions. So if you do have your copy of God's Word today, if you'll just open on up to Joshua chapter, open up to the end of Joshua chapter 2 with me. And as you're flipping over to the end of Joshua 2, I'm just kind of want to do a quick recap to remind us of where we're at in Scripture up to this point. At this point, God had led the Hebrew people out of slavery in Egypt, across the Red Sea, and all the way up to the land that he had promised them. But when the spies sent in to scout out the land came back, only two of them were ready to go and take the land that God had promised them. The rest had seen the enemies there and were too afraid. So the people ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years as that generation and Moses passed away. And so we pick up here in Joshua, as God has again brought his people to the edge of the land that he's promised them, and two spies have went in to view the land. And remember, this is a land that they've never been to, a land that they have not known, but it is the land that was promised Abraham years and years before. And so let's pick up reading in Joshua chapter 2, verse 23. And it'll be on the screen if you need to follow along as well. It says, "Then the two men returned. They came down from the hills and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun. And they told him that all that had happened to them. And they said to Joshua, 'Truly the Lord has given all the land into our hands, and also all the inhabitants of the land melt away because of us.' Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Shittim, and they came to the Jordan, and he and all of the people of Israel lodged there before they passed over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, 'As soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, being carried by the Levitical priest, then you shall set forth from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it, in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before.' Then Joshua said to the people, 'Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.' And Joshua said to the priests, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people.' So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much today. We thank you so much for you and for who you are. And we thank you so much for the truth of your word. We thank you that we can look into your word and we can learn more about who you are. We can learn about how great you are and how much you love us. And we thank you that we can look into your word and we can learn more about who we are. And your word transforms us each and every day to look more and more like you. So we pray today that our hearts would be open to receive your word and we'd be willing to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So God had led the people out of slavery in Egypt, like we said. They've come all the way to this land, and now it's time to go in. But there's one quote there that I kept getting called up as I read this passage. For you have not passed this way before. For you have not passed this way before. We all find ourselves in time of life transitions or life stages where we're faced with the unknown of what is ahead, because what is ahead is a way that we've never been before. Graduates, your next step is a way that you've never been before. As you leave high school and you start college or you enter the workforce, you may be moving to a whole new place or a whole new city. You'll start to make big decisions that start to chart the course of your life. It's a lot of big life things all at once that are happening. Being Graduate Recognition Sunday, this is one of the most obvious life transitions we can think of. But for everyone in the room, take a moment to think, what's the next step before you that is a way that you have never been before? Maybe you've drank the water here at Green Valley and you're about to have a baby. And I hear twins are also going around in that. So you're about to enter parenthood or add an addition into your family. Maybe you're about to send a baby or preschool or baby or young kid off to preschool or daycare for the first time. Maybe your preschool age child is about to start big kid school and go off to kindergarten. Maybe your child is about to make that big jump from the elementary school that they've known for 6 years to the unknown world of middle school, or make that jump from the middle school to the high school. As a parent, maybe this is your first child to go off to college, and it'll be all new, and you'll have to learn how to parent a young adult. Or maybe it's the last kid to move out, and you're about to enter a whole new season of being an empty nester. Maybe the next step ahead is becoming a grandparent. Maybe the unknown before you right now is a new job transition. Or your family's about to make a move to a new city. Or maybe it's just the unknown of what does retirement even look like? Maybe life has thrown you a curveball of health issues, financial issues, or relationship issues, and you just really do not know what tomorrow looks like. As a church, we're faced together with the unknown of what's ahead as we're in a time of transition, and we're in a time of passing through a way that we've never been before. So as you stand at that place, looking forward, feeling blindfolded, and just really not sure what lies ahead, there are a couple things that we can be reminded of today and that we can know for sure. So the first thing that we can be reminded of today and we can know for sure is that God has already gone before you and is with you. God has already gone before you and is with you. As God's people stood at that place, looking forward to a way that they had never been before, Joshua said to the priest, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people." In fact, they were to let the Ark of the Covenant go about a half mile before them before they followed it so they could all see it and they would all know which way it was going. But we have to ask a question real quick. What's so significant about this box? Why is it a big deal that they were following a half mile behind a box? Some of you, if you move recently, we're not talking about like the packing boxes that you have, or for the kids in the room, we're not talking about your box of toys that you have in the corner in your room. We're talking about the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark was a box overlaid inside and out with pure gold. Inside, Moses had placed the stone tablets of the law, a jar of manna God had provided in the wilderness, and Aaron's rod that had budded. On top of the ark were two golden cherubim, angel type angels, who looked down on the lid, which was known as the mercy seat. It was the place above which God was enthroned among his people. The ark was housed in the tabernacle in the most holy place behind the curtain. God's people could not directly enter God's presence, but the ark was both the visual reminder and the visual reality that God was with his people. The Ark of the Covenant going before the people was a big deal because that meant that God was going before the people. God's presence was leading them through the way that they had not been before. The people were not following Joshua or any other man or leader. They were following God. They were following God to lead into a land that they had not been before, a land that was filled with enemies and adversaries. But they were able to go boldly and courageously because God was leading them. God had already told them and would keep reminding them, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And God takes it even a step further with his presence among his people when we move into the New Testament and Jesus enters into the most holy place, not by the blood of goat or calves, but by his own blood, when on the cross, he's the final sacrifice and payment for our sins. And he rips the curtain from top to bottom, that curtain that kept us out of God's presence. So God's presence is no longer just in the midst of his people, but as we see in the fulfilling of his promise in Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit's poured out onto all of God's people, God's presence now lives inside of all of those who are his. That means, as you take that step from fifth grade to sixth grade, God has already gone before you. He's already walked into that middle school before you, and he'll go with you as you go. As you move out of your parents' house and move into a dorm or an apartment to start college, God has already gone before you, and he goes with you. God has already gone before you into that new job. God has already gone before you into the new city. God is already there on the other side of the health diagnosis or the financial ruin. And even when this earthly life comes to an end, we follow a God who in Jesus went before us in death. So that while we may experience an earthly death here, we still do not go alone. And to be absent from the body, we will be present with the Lord and we will live eternally with him. And even as a church, we have a God who is leading us into the unknown now and who is present with us through every step. So our truth today is that God goes before you and God is with you and God is in you. You never go anywhere or take any step alone. So you can take this next step, whatever that step is for you, boldly and courageously. He said, as you stand in that place looking forward, feeling blindfolded, and you're not really sure what lies ahead, you can know, like we said, that God has gone before you and is with you. But you can also know our second point. You can also know your main purpose remains the same. And whatever the next step is, your main purpose remains the same. In verse 5, Joshua tells the people to consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. There's something going on here because the people have already been told that they will wait and let the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, go about a half mile before they're going to follow it. Yes, this was practical so that they could see it far off and they would know which way it was going. There was a lot of them, so they needed that space to see it. But there was something even bigger happening. We're reminded that God is entirely holy and God is entirely set apart. The people could not get close to the ark. They could not touch it. They could not even accidentally bump it. And before God was going to do mighty, wondrous things, the people had to consecrate themselves, sanctify themselves. They had to do a ritual washing to make themselves clean and to set themselves apart. God had already called his people and said, "Be holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy." From the time God made his promise to Abraham in Genesis 12 that he would give him a big family and he would give that big family a land and that he would give that big family and land blessings and protection, he had called that He had called Abraham and that family and that land and that protection. He had called it, God had called them, that family people, his chosen people, to be set apart, to be holy, to be different from all the other nations, not to be superior or to lord over them. God told Abraham, by you, all other nations of the world will be blessed. The nation of Israel was called to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. The nation of Israel was set apart to be light to all the other nations. All those laws in Leviticus that maybe sometimes we skip over really quickly, all those laws made them different. They lived differently for God. They lived obediently to God. They were called to care for the orphan, to care for the widow. They took in the refugee and the foreigner. And as they followed God, God worked mightily for them. The other nations could not help but take notice. God's people were influencers on those around them. And that mission does not change throughout time or when faced with changing circumstances. God's people are always called to be set apart and to be influencers in the world that they live in. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he kind of gives us more of a picture of what this looks like for us. In Matthew 5, in verse 13, it starts, it says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." As followers of Christ, we influence the world around us by being set apart and being salt and being light. We preserve the world. We give it flavor. We're beacons of hope and direction in darkness because we know where true life and true hope comes from. We're called not to conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed to live a life that is marked by obedience to God's word, to live lives that are evidence of the inner and sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, lives that have been consecrated and made holy by daily repenting from sin and turning to obedience. It's only after daily, in humility, seeking forgiveness and repentance, can I be light, can I be set apart, can I be an influence and see God do wonders. Ephesians 2:10 tells us, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So as you walk into whatever your next or your unknown is, your purpose remains the same: to glorify God, to be set apart, to be light, to do the good works that God has prepared for you to do. So as you walk into a new school, live a life so dramatically different that others cannot help but take notice. As you walk into a new job, do your work as to God so that others see a higher purpose in you. As you walk into a new city or move to that new city, be a beacon of light that takes Jesus with you as you enter a whole new mission field. As you face the unknowns of health concerns or financial concerns, walk with so much hope that it does not make sense to others. And they have to ask you about the hope that you have and where it comes from. And as a church, in humility, let us daily consecrate ourselves in repentance and forgiveness so that through our obedience, God can do wonders among us, among our faith family, and among the Green Valley and Hoover communities. Let us be a beacon of light that points to a holy God that others cannot help but take notice of and recognize as the one true God. Graduates, like I said, you're not just graduating high school and being done with church. You're being sent to a way that you've never been before with purpose. for all of us. Our next season, whatever that is a way that we're being sent to on purpose. As a church, the next, what's ahead, as much as we may not know about it, is a way that we're being sent to by God for a purpose. So as we close this morning, the band's going to come out to continue to lead us in worship. But let us use this time to consecrate ourselves before God as God gets ready to do wonders that only He can do. You can do that there just at your seat. You know, of course, this altar is always open for us to come and to pray. And then after the service, there'll be a couple of people down front who are here to, if you need to take a next step, they can talk with you about that, or they can pray with you about any next step that's in front of you that you're about to walk into. But let me close by saying this reminder. God has gone before you and is with you, and your purpose remains the same. God has prepared the way and the good works. Walk in them boldly and courageously.